Okay, so today is the 19th of October, 2024. It's the Fellowship Hour, and I'm reading from Testimonies, Volume 1. I think it's page 169, paragraph 1, all the way to 70, paragraph 2. I don't know. I'll figure that out in a moment. But it says, and the Lord gave this to me last night, as a matter of fact. And I wasn't planning on sharing it today, but then what we were reading from Sketches from the Life of Paul earlier, it linked perfectly to it. And how Paul would, you know, literally help others with his means. And so it says, I saw that in the providence of God, wealth has been acquired. There is no sin in possessing it. And if no opportunities present themselves to use this means to advance the cause of God, there is no sin in still possessing it. And that gave me a calm in my mind, in my heart. I'm not rich by any means. I'm not a millionaire. But we do have quite a few love offerings that I haven't spent. And even with the with the camp meeting and stuff like that, where we helped people with plane tickets and stuff and pay for the cabins and the catering and stuff like that, some gave love offerings to cover the bulk of that. And so I didn't even have to dip deep. So there's a bunch of money still in there, and I won't touch it. So there's no sin in it, but I want to use it to the glory of God, as well as my own tithings. You know, because, you know, just to help further the work. And that's why we're blessed the way we do, because you and the church family, you give, you know, some of you give a little bit of a love offering. And if a lot of you do it, it helps out immensely for Sister Mary Beth. You make sure those books keep getting printed, because they're the only ones that I know that are safe, that anybody knows that are safe. Now, other ones may have original books that are, you know, photocopied and stuff, like, from what I understand, but their theology and some of the things they preach is, and the way they treated Vern when he was alive, it was, yeah, I don't want any part with people like that. If they, you know, especially when someone like Vern comes up with the olive leaf, trying to mend fences, like Vern didn't do nothing wrong. They got angry at him because he was proving that the books were edited. But she goes on to say, but if opportunities are presented to the brethren to use their property to the glory of God and the advancement of his cause, and they withhold it, it will be a cause of stumbling to them. In the day of trouble, that which was hoarded, treasure, will be an offense to them. Then all opportunities will be passed for using their substance to the glory of God. And in anguish of spirit, they will cast it from them to the moles and to the bats. Anguish of spirit, because they knew what they had. They held on it too long. White knuckle grip, as I used to call it. They don't want to let go. They don't trust God to replace it. Remember when I was talking about it? Last night, I think I was talking about it. Where when we help somebody, the Lord always blesses us for doing it. And mostly I prefer, as most of you I would think do, spiritual blessings for helping others. But sometimes he also gives us financial blessings for helping others. And that usually catches you off guard, because it's usually quite a bit more than you help someone with. And so you stash it. That's what we do, because someone else is going to need it. And I look at money as monopoly money. Especially, we're so close to the end now, what are you going to do with it? I mean, look at how faithful they were when they thought the world was winning in 1844. They sold their homes and they dumped all that money into the kitty to make sure that they had what they needed to spread the message. The midnight cry went all over the world. You see that happening now? Yeah, neither do I. And yet the world really is coming to an end this time. But some do, you know, donate on a regular basis and bless us with what we need to get the work done, and we do it to the best of our ability. But there are other things that the Lord would have us do that we simply can't do. And because we never ask for donations, it's up to the people to be obedient like they were in 1844. She goes on to say that their gold and their silver cannot save them in that day. It falls upon them with crushing weight that an account must be given of their stewardship. what use they have made of their Lord's money. Remember the guy with, you know, the parable that the Lord gave in regards to the guys with the talents? They have to give account on them, including the guy that buried it. He just sat on it. Didn't do anything with it. She says self-love made them believe that it was all their own and that they might want it all. Does they ever know? You know, think about that. Some people think, well, I don't know, maybe in the next couple of months I might want to go out and buy me a Corvette or something. Why on earth you'd ever want to do that is beyond me. Or let's say someone's got two or three houses and they says, you know, what if I want to buy another house? Why would you want two or three to beat it, to, for that matter, you know? That just, but still, some people are like that. Especially this close to the end. The word's going to get out, and if certain people won't do it, the Lord's got others that will. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. It's not going to be an issue. I just don't want our church family to be spanked in any kind of way. So I let them know everything we can let them know. And in no ways does this mean that I'm asking for money. Please don't let that be in your head, because I'm not. We don't need it right now, but we might need it tomorrow. Who knows? The Lord might move you into sharing something with us we never even knew we actually needed. That's how the body of the church works. Yeah. Amen, Sister Denise. Self-love made them believe that it was all their own, that they might want it all. But they then bitterly feel, and understand that their means was only lent them of God to be freely returned by being used to advance His cause. I mean, seriously, do you see God walking around the streets doing things? No, He walks through His people just like Satan does. He gives us the means by which to do the things He wants done. He doesn't need us to do it. He wants us to do it, because He can get anybody to do it. It's going to get done, period. You can't change Christian prophecy. It's going to happen. It all depends on who He's going to use or who allows Him to use. Their riches deceived them. They felt poor and lived for themselves. And at last, they will find that the portion they might have used for God's cause is a terrible burden. You know, that reminds me of these old people that I've known all my life. We come across them all the time. We always hear about them you hear about this guy that's in his 80s and he gives this young waitress a tip of 50 grand or something so she can buy a home or a car or whatever she needs, right? Or college. And he finally, it looks to me like when it comes to this place, with some of these old guys, they figure, okay, they don't want to give it to family because maybe all family's dead. Who knows? And he decides he doesn't want to die with all this money sitting in the bank, and he just starts giving it away now. I mean, that's a good thing. Yeah, he's giving it away to help those that need it, but why didn't you do that when you were younger? When you could have been part of the effective work of Christ. It reminds me of the Catholics sitting in the church every morning, because I used to go to daily mass right before I quit the Catholic Church. I went to daily mass, prayed the rosary every day, and I used to go into the church in the mornings with my wife, sometimes with my mom, too. And everybody in there was, I mean, Fran and I were the youngest there, and we were in our 20s. Everybody else was minimum 65 years old. They all waited until they could barely walk across a room without getting winded to start getting serious about their faith. Well, praise God they didn't die in some kind of accident, disease, or suicide before that day. But now, what can you do for the Lord? Not much. Especially stuck in the Church of Rome. Hopefully some of them were praying for others. Because that's the most precious gift we can give anybody. She goes on to say that, said the angel, lay all upon the altar, a living, consuming sacrifice. Bind it with cords. If you cannot keep it there, give yourselves to prayer. Live at the altar. Strengthen your purposes by the promises of God. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Nay, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because it don't rust up there. Wow. The Sultan of Brunei has at least 7,000 cars. And they're all probably... I look at some of the guys that I did some research on that years ago, like in Dubai, and some of these rich princes and stuff like that, they have solid silver cars. Now, it's not painted silver. It's solid silver polished. You can't drive it on the street, obviously, because it'll cause... on a sunny day. You couldn't drive it on a sunny day because there'd be accidents everywhere because the sunlight would reflect off and blind somebody, and they're driving and they crash. But, that's just nuts. That's the way it is, some people. She says, I saw that if God had given you wealth above the plainest and the poorest, it should humble you, for it lays you under great obligations. So the idea that everybody's some guy's a self-made man or a woman, a self-made woman, stop thinking that way. And you didn't compile those riches, the Lord. You could have lost your job. You could have got sick and lost your career, your business, all of it. But no, he kept you going for a reason. He's got something he wants you to do. And he's watching to see if he'll do it. And again, this is all about his will, not ours. Because we don't even know if we need anything at this point. The Lord only wants the church family to understand their duty in all things. Because I remember, well, I wasn't there, but I remember from reading it that what happened in the 1840s. How they sold their homes. They were all homeless on October 22nd, 1844. Except, of course, your Ananias and Sapphira that stashed some money, right? Now you all just dropped dead in a doorway like they all do. Because a doorway means Christ. So they lied to the Holy Spirit. And there, of course, is another version of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit before the mark of the beast. But that is, again, we can't read hearts. We can't read hearts during the time of the loud cry either, but we know what the prophecy says. If they deny it, they have blasphemed the Holy Spirit when the mark is being enforced. But when it's not being enforced, there are certain stipulations that, you can still blaspheme the Holy Ghost, but it's not us to call it because we can't read their hearts. They can repent. We don't know what they're understanding or not understanding. Amen. Sister Minnie said, I feel now is the time to sell whatever I don't need and bless others that are in need before it's too late. Or, if you can't find anybody that's in need, like they did in 1844, sell what you can that you don't need. Well, they sold everything. They thought the world was ending. But we know it is ending now. But I'm not saying sell your home and just be homeless. No. Because we don't know the day or the hour. You still got to have a place to live. So, you've got 12 homes. Sell 11 of them is what I'm getting at. But you sell it to promote, to get the work going forward. We're still doing it. We're still printing the books. But it's like a one-man thing. Like a lot of the work I do, I'm just one guy here. And there's a couple of brothers and sisters in the faith that do work on their own as well. But we're only doing it. We don't have this big group that gathers and says, okay, we got all this. Maybe we should start doing that now that I think about it. Say, okay, why don't we have a meeting, brothers and sisters, and let's figure out what we're going to do with this money that we got in love offerings, let's say. If in fact it just starts piling in, you know. Because then we're going to have to. That would make sense because, you know. I don't want to be the guy that signs the check. I don't want it all on me. I want my brothers and sisters to get blessed too. Good one. Deuteronomy 8. It says, but those shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Amen. Amen. That he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Yeah, you can eat like, yeah. Amen. Let's see. Yeah. You have a free will or love. We could even start like a, some kind of a fund for something. I don't know. But it'd be nice to be able to set up a homeless shelter. But I can we set one up where they don't insist on a 501c3? I don't know. But if we set one up, it would be the way I used to go and visit the ones on 51st in Indiana, Door of Hope. And you couldn't get a meal, and they would give you 3 meals a day. But you could not get a meal unless you listened to a preacher speak for 15 minutes. That 15 minutes just does a lot to some people. And they got to eat 3 squares a day. And no place for them to sleep. They had a few beds for some of the guys that were overwhelmingly serious in doing the good work and had good fruit. They would let them live there in the homeless shelter. But it was really just a soup kitchen, its first design. But they put some beds in the back. Amen. So going on. Again, I saw that if God had given you wealth above the plainest and poorest, it should humble you, for it lays you under greater obligations. Where much is given, even of a worldly substance, because it's not just the spiritual things. Like some of us have been given amazing spiritual wisdom. And I thank you for being part of the church family, because I do contact you every now and then for counsel. Some of you brothers know who I'm talking about. And I do, and my wife and I, we counsel each other a lot of times too. It's nice to be married to someone who is on the same page. But and I understand some of us in the church family don't have that blessing yet. You are sanctifying your spouse. Who knows? That spouse may turn around. And that's our hope and prayer. Some of them are in the Word, and they still haven't made the final decision, but they will soon. Hopefully it's the good decision. So where much is given, even of worldly substance, much will be required. Upon this principle, you are bound to possess noble, generous dispositions. Seek for opportunities to do good with that, with what you have. Lay up yourselves treasures in heaven. And I've even thought about that too, like, because I know there's poor families out here. I remember when Fran and I were down and out and homeless, you know, and all that, and with all the kids. I mean, it was, we had a place to live, but it was, yeah, 10 people living in a 2-bedroom kitchenette, and each bedroom was like a big closet. Yeah, it was rough. And I know there's families out there now, like even the little towns near me. I'd love to go door to door and just, but how do you do that? Without getting the fakers to come up and say, yeah, I could use a couple of bucks. And they got a few grand in their bank. That's why I keep seeking and I keep praying. I says, Father God, send them. There's got to be somebody out here that needs help. As a matter of fact, there is a family we do help on a regular basis every year. But, that's only, and I have to ask if they know anybody else. But they got to be sincere, because some people will take advantage of you. Amen. Sister Marissa says many spend money lavishly in self-gratification. Men and women can consult their pleasure and gratify their taste while they bring to God almost unwillingly a stinted offering. They forget that God will one day demand a strict account of how his goods have been used. Acts of the Apostles, 75:2. Probably in another book, too, because we know that book has some issues. But that's what I found with Acts of the Apostles, too, that you take some of the quotes out of there, you'll find them in SOP 4 or in Testimonies. Amen. She goes on to say here, it says, I saw that the least that has been acquired of Christians in past days. You know, that reminds me of the stinted thing, the stinted offering. Benny Hinn, he's a billionaire. And the Lord sent, I have no doubt in my mind, that the Lord sent a young woman pregnant with a little girl holding her little girl's hand. Benny Hinn gets out of his limo, and she walks up to him, and he handed her a $20 bill. That's it. He could have got her a home, and it wouldn't have affected. He would have got a good tax write-off for that. But he held on to all that, like all these millionaires and trillionaires and billionaires out there, or millionaires, billionaires, trillionaires, rather, keep it in order. they have more money than they can spend in multiple lifetimes of their own children. There's just, yeah, and it's all rotting away. I want to spend this money that we have in the love offerings. It's not as much as you think, but it's, you know, there's somebody that could use help here or there or whatever. She says, I saw that the least that has been required of Christians in past days is to possess a spirit of liberality, you know, giving, and to consecrate to the Lord a portion of all their increase, you know, dedicate. Every true Christian has considered this a privilege, but some who have been born the name, who have borne the name only, you know, the name Christian, like the Isaiah 4 ones, they have considered it a task. The grace and love of God had never wrought in them the good work, or they would gladly have advanced the cause of their Redeemer. But Christians who are living in the last days and who are waiting for their Lord are required to do even more than this. God requires them to sacrifice. Said the angel, Jesus left a bright track for you to follow. Tread closely in his footsteps. Share his life of self-denial, his self-sacrificing life, and inherit with him the crown of glory. Luke 12:21. So he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. Okay, good, yeah. See, that's what I thought, like with Sister Marissa. You're going to find it, that quote somewhere else, yeah. But, yeah, that exact same quote that from Acts of the Apostles is in Review and Herald, February 2nd, 1911, paragraph 17. See, that's why I used to use Acts of the Apostles on in some of the sermons in the old days, or even Desire of Ages, until we came across something that was put in there that purposely spoke out against truth, like in the Desire of Ages, saying that Jesus Christ stands on the earth at his second coming. That's a lie. So we stopped that book. But some of the books that we came in the beginning when we first started sharing, we came across the dot, 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 like when they would edit out something, just to compile it. And we would go and look it up and find out what was said after the dot, dot, dot. And if the theology was still solid, we'd share it. It wasn't until we found out later they were adding things to the book that we got rid of those books. As a matter of fact, I was just explaining it to a brethren of faith this morning. Because I shared a sermon 13 years ago where I used Desire of Ages. See, I only read that book halfway through. Twice I tried to read it, and I just couldn't. It's a big book, but that doesn't matter. I can still read. I didn't get all the way through because it's not inspired. It just didn't flow. I wasn't getting blessed. And maybe I never got to that point where it said that Jesus stands on the earth. If I'd have seen it back then, I never would have used it ever in a sermon. Never. I would have known it day one. Yeah. Yeah, but what was there? There's something else about the Acts of the Apostles that, you know, because I like that book sometimes, you know. But there were, not that I'm, because I don't know what was the issue that we had with it. I know it was because the Council of Five, like Uriah Smith and those guys that were involved in that book, because the Council of Five put out some books that literally are really bad books. Was it the Committee of Five or Council? It was the Committee of Five. I got a little graphic I put on the site about them. But yeah, so anyway, in regards to what I just shared, I hope and pray that everyone is blessed by what was shared, and everyone is has been given a giving heart, be it spiritually or physically or materialistically, like, you know, you got too many chairs in your house, give someone that doesn't have any, you know, that kind of a thing. Conflict of Ages books. Yeah, the Conflict of the Ages books. Those are bad news. And, yeah, Isn't Acts of the Apostles in that group, Eli? I don't even remember. Let me look it up and see if I have it on my... Oh, it is? Okay, yeah. And so... But still, every now and then, if I come across a quote in Acts of the Apostles, I read it, and I like it, and then I copy and paste it into the query of the LNY CD, and I find it in Review and Herald or SOP4 or someplace else. And so, yeah. So let them give not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. Or of necessity there, what Sister Hannah put in. Some people think they have to give to because they have to give because they want to get a slap on the back. No, that's not why we do it. We give it because we do it for them. Vern says if he finds something good in those he doesn't scorn it, but applauds it and tries to find it in other books so that he can... Yeah, that's what we do. But I don't want to sit down and read those books, you know? Like if I'm doing a search on the Yellow White CD because it's got the edited books in there, I come across quotes sometimes and I can't find the wording. I mean, I can do that with Scripture. I can find any verse, anytime, if I have either a concordance or my Bible on my cell phone or a computer. Because I know the verses, but I can't memorize their location so much when I'm doing my own studies. And so I don't necessarily have to have it right away with the John 14:26 because someone's not standing, a beating heart isn't standing in front of me that's going to run away if I don't give them that verse yet, right? If I'm doing it myself, then yeah, I'll use the tools I have and I'll go digging around and I come across stuff in Acts of the Apostles or something. I never want to look at anything in Desire of Ages for some reason because I really got irked on that book. But yeah, some of these like Patriarchs and Prophets or Prophets and Kings, every now and then I find something in there that makes perfect sense and so I take it, put it in the query, and if I find it somewhere else, bam, I use it. And so, yeah, they can't hide all the truth in those books. And the only reason I don't delete those videos that I have on the site or on YouTube that are 13 years old with Desire of Ages in them is because SDAs trust those books. And I want them to hear from the books they trust. Okay, some of the people outside the SDA church that know about the edited books might get all up on my face about that, but hey, look, I'm going to use the tools I have. I didn't know about it 13 years ago. I know about it now, but I'm not going to delete the video because somebody might get blessed by a book they trust and find out that it's not really that trustworthy because they also, if they watch my videos, will see I got a bunch of videos after it. I found out that those books were bogus. I made a bunch of videos exposing them. Good night, Sister Barbara. Have a blessed week. God bless you, too. So, and Brother Gabriel, too. God bless. And Sister Marie. Yeah. See you tonight at 7 o'clock, by the way. And so, anyway, I'm going to end this recording here.